You're listening to Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. Rhode Island has a poverty rate of more than 14%, and the Economic Progress Institute of Rhode Island holds its annual policy conference tomorrow, looking at the complex issue of poverty in the Ocean State. We sat down with the group's executive director, Kate Brewster. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start by talking about housing. Rhode Island leads New England in foreclosure rates, but those numbers are starting to come down. Sounds like good news. How good is it?
Well, it is good news that the foreclosure rate is dropping, but it's certainly still high. Rhode Island still has one of the highest foreclosure rates in the country. And I think what's important to know is there was a recent report showing that housing prices are still very much out of reach for Rhode Islanders. Far too many people in our state are paying much more than 30% of their income on rent, which is what is considered to be affordable.
Now, Kate Brewster, there are several pieces of legislation this year at the State House that could affect foreclosure rates. Are there any of those bills that you feel would make a significant difference?
Sure. There's a bill that would allow renters to continue to rent if a property has been foreclosed on. We know that one of the biggest problems has been that multiple family units that are foreclosed often displace many families, and that has been a big problem in our state. And this legislation would allow these folks to be able to continue to rent and stay in their homes during the foreclosure process.
And on the issue of affordability, what would help improve affordability for renters and for homebuyers in Rhode Island?
There's also legislation that would provide rental assistance for people who are in need of affordable housing. This is an area where Rhode Island has really been behind in investing state dollars in helping people be able to afford rents and stay in their homes. So this is a critical issue to be looking at.
And how critical is that this? I mean, what's the long-term effect if the state does nothing?
I think when you think about what makes a state a good place to do business and raise a family, certainly having people in stable homes that they can afford is a cornerstone of that. It's a cornerstone of the American dream. And I think as more and more people find themselves unable to keep up and underwater, it becomes an incredible stress and threat to the entire state's economic competitiveness.
Now, a report out earlier this year from the Corporation for Enterprise Development, a national think tank, says more than a quarter of Rhode Islanders are considered what they call liquid asset poor, meaning that they have less than 3 months of savings in the bank. Can you talk about what makes that an important economic indicator?
Well, certainly what it tells us is that people are living paycheck to paycheck and aren't able to save for a home, for college, never mind for retirement. So this is really disconcerting with our state's unemployment rate. So many people are at risk of kind of falling off that financial cliff, and it's an area that we believe needs to be much more carefully looked at.
And what do you think the state needs to do to help improve that indicator?
Well, there are certainly other pieces of legislation that are being proposed. Increasing the minimum wage would be an important step in helping to improve economic security in Rhode Island. There are national programs like individual development accounts that can help people save for the future. The state could expand its earned income tax credit here in Rhode Island to provide families with more relief at the end of the year in the form of a refund, money they can put aside and save for an emergency, for a health crisis, or some other setback.
Now, studies also show that more than half of Rhode Islanders have subprime credit ratings, which makes them more likely to turn to payday lenders. Those lenders can charge interest rates up to 260%. Now, I know there's legislation to cap those rates right now, but what are the obstacles to passing this?
So Rhode Island right now is the only state in New England that allows payday lending, and payday lenders to charge interest rates as high as 260% APR.
Really the only state?
The only state in New England. In fact, Congress does not allow payday lenders to lend to military families because they found that that was becoming a serious problem for families who were serving our country. And so they enacted caps on interest rates for families in the military. Payday lending has been an important issue that we've worked on over the last couple of years. And certainly the fact that the industry has poured a tremendous amount of money into maintaining their ability to do this in Rhode Island has been one of the biggest factors that we faced.
How many times have you tried to get this cap passed in the past?
This is the third year, and we know that legislation often takes many years in order to be enacted. But there's a big growing coalition that is really diverse and includes many of the mayors and cities in our state. It includes religious organizations, the United Way, a number of prominent groups who have realized that this is really hurting struggling families who are getting ensnared in a debt trap and ending up trying to resolve a short-term financial crisis, but actually finding themselves in a much longer-term problem.
Let's turn now to unemployment, obviously a really big issue for Rhode Island. We've seen the numbers come down a little bit, but Rhode Island still has some of the highest unemployment numbers in the country. And your data show it's more than twice as high for people of color. What should the state be doing to address that disparity?
Well, this is a big issue that really needs to be much more closely examined, and there need to be some strategies that really begin to get at this. Certainly, education is key, and we have a growing Latino population in our state. We need to make sure their access to equal opportunity and education throughout their life is there for them. We should be investing in things like English as a second language for people for whom English is not their first language, so that they have an opportunity to get into the workforce and remain in the workforce. That's one step. But this is something that we hope to talk about at our conference tomorrow, how to look at the racial disparities in unemployment and begin to think about strategies that will really address that.
Kate Brewster from the Economic Progress Institute. Do you feel the state has been ignoring this issue?
I think that much more attention needs to be focused on this issue. The numbers don't seem to get much better. Providence actually has had the highest Latino unemployment rate for any large metro area for the last couple of years, and we don't talk much about that. And it's something that does need to have a laser beam focused on it, if you will.
Do you have any sense of what's behind these numbers? Why is it so high for our minority residents?
I think that Rhode Island has always, as we know, been a strong manufacturing state, as those jobs have been lost. And we have lost some of the largest share of manufacturing jobs in the country when you look at total unemployment. That's an area where minority and immigrant households could work, and that opportunity has really been lost. And as we become more of the service and knowledge-based economy, it may be harder for them to break into that. So again, education is key to getting those folks into the workforce and making sure that they become part of our economy. They have a tremendous amount to offer, and I think it's time that we really focus on how to embrace all of their talents and skills and harness the capabilities they have.
Well, Kate Brewster, we've been talking about a lot of the problems that low-income residents face here in Rhode Island, but what's the state doing right at this time in terms of combating poverty and inequality?
One thing, Elizabeth, for sure, is that Rhode Island has been a leader with health care, as you know. So we have done a great job of making sure that health care is available to a majority of our residents through Right Care, Medicaid. That's been an important step, and we hope that as healthcare reform is implemented, that we will keep a close eye on affordability, especially for low and modest income working families. The Senate has recently released a report called Moving the Needle, in which they make suggestions about how we can improve the state's business climate. And part of that included policies to address things like the cliff effect for childcare. When families earn a penny over the childcare assistance limits, they can see the cost of childcare skyrocket 500 or 600%. So there are some great steps and recognitions that the state is making to help make sure that low and modest income families are able to get ahead. But there's much room for improvement.
Kate Brewster from the Economic Progress Institute of Rhode Island, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.